Attention listeners, AfterSight's annual hike is coming up on July 27th.
It was a really good experience for me.
Visit aftersight.org/hike and become an audio trekker today.
That hike today gave me so much courage.
You're listening to an AINC original podcast. We believe you don't have to do life without a compass. Let us be your guide on this amazing journey. Welcome to Navigating Life with Vision Loss.
Hello, I'm Kim Wardlow, your host for Navigating Life with Vision Loss. We are in a month of travel. I'm talking about all kinds of travel. Last week, with Ted Taquichi, we were talking about all things land travel related and answering questions we had from listeners there. If you have any questions for the upcoming series in May on mental health, you can call us at 720-712-8856. Again, that's 720-712-8856, or email us at feedback@aftersight.org, feedback, FEEDBACK, at aftersight, AFTERSIGHT.ORG. We'll be talking about a range of topics for the month of mental health, including addiction, depression, loneliness, and medication, both prescribed and over-the-counter, and homeopathic. So lots of different things included in that topic for next month. But today, we are still talking about travel, and we are back with my friend Marianne Migliorelli. And the last time she was here, we talked about all things air travel and getting through airports and all those good things. But for this final week of April, we thought it would be good just to talk about why we travel and the importance in traveling, still continuing to do your travel or start traveling when you've lost vision. So, and Marianne is a seasoned traveler herself. So Marianne, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back. I really appreciate that. This is a fun series of conversations and I'm glad we're having them.
I am too. So I think, you know, we recognize that there's lots of benefits to travel. You learn about, depending how far you go, but even within the States, you can learn about other cultures and try different foods, and it's relaxing. There's all sorts of reasons to travel, but sometimes when a person is blind or in the process of losing vision, they start to hesitate about traveling. But you have done lots of traveling, and I know other people too, and you love it. So can you talk a little bit about traveling as a blind person?
Absolutely. And it's not only people who lose their vision who think they shouldn't travel or won't get much out of it. I do know people who have never had vision who are like, oh, why would I go there? But I personally believe that they have bought into a stereotype, a theme that comes from people who have vision. I remember being on a cruise at one point, and I was walking up a flight of stairs to get to a show or something. And I remember this group of people standing around and talking, and they saw me and my first husband walking up the stairs, and they were like, why are they even here? What's the deal? They can't even see anything. They can't look out. They can't see the beauty. They're not looking at this pretty ocean or this beautiful ship or any. Why are they even here? What are they getting out of this? And of course, they're talking to each other. And they all fed into this conversation with each other about why we were here. And meanwhile, we're walking right by them. I'm like, yes, I'm hearing this whole conversation. And I turned around and I said, you know, the reason I'm here is because there's way more beauty that's out here that is available for me to enjoy. I can stop and engage in this conversation with you if I choose to. I could go past you and go on and enjoy the amazing show that's going to happen. And you don't have to see the show to appreciate the show. There's a million beautiful things to appreciate on this ship, not including the art, which, yes, it's there and it's lovely. Maybe I would ask somebody to describe it, but maybe I don't actually care about the art, but I care about the cuisine. I care about the amazing entertainments. I care about being able to lay on the deck in the sunshine and relax when it's super cold where I live. Maybe all of that is enjoyable. And maybe it's enjoyable to go to these fun islands and be on a beach somewhere and all of these other things that have nothing whatsoever to do with sight. Some of them are a little bit more convenient with sight, but it makes them no less appreciable. And I think too many people have bought into the myth that if you can't see, you can't appreciate things around you. And that is so very, very untrue.
Well, and I know in a previous conversation we had, you were talking about people, blind people going on a cruise, say, and they're good. They're good with the cruise. They know their way around the ship, but they're afraid to do the excursions and get off the ship. They're afraid they won't be able to find their way back. They'll, you know, miss a boat, which is a thing, I mean, can happen to anybody. It happens to people who are sighted. So it's not, it's not exclusively.
It almost happened to me and it had nothing to do with getting off there, getting around on land. It just had to do with my friends not listening to what I told them and causing us to be later than we expected. Yeah. And so that had nothing to do with blindness. It had to do with my friends not just listening to me and not doing what I told them to do while I ran down the street. But yes, absolutely. I do know people who will get on a ship and who will absolutely treat that ship or a resort like this is the destination. I'm not doing anything but this because if I go on shore, something bad is going to happen to me. And I know sighted people who think the same way as well. Now, if you purposely intend to get on a cruise ship or go to a destination resort, and that's all you plan to do, and you don't care about going off of it, that's fine. And it's your choice not to do that. But it isn't a choice when you are afraid and you aren't ready to understand what you can do to make sure that you don't get lost among the shuffle. I do get off the ships and I do take shore excursions to many cool places. I've gone swimming with dolphins and stingrays. I've been to hell and back in Grand Cayman, which is a good time. I've tasted rum cakes and gone rum tasting. I've been up to Duns River Falls in Jamaica and so on. I've been on the little party boat cruises just for the fun of it and sing and dance and have a good time and drink rum punch till you're silly. I've done all those things. And if you go on a tour, either from a resort or from a cruise ship, any of those things, the people who are on that tour, the tour guides are going to look out for you. Now, I'm not saying it is their responsibility to guide you every step of the way, and it isn't, but no tour director wants to bring their tour back one short.
Right.
It is a bad thing to happen. They have to justify why it happened and so on. And even in foreign countries, if you're, you know, if you're going on a tour, the tour people are definitely going to look out for you. If they know you've booked this tour and you are blind and you've let the, you know, if you've let your resort people or your cruise people or whomever know that you're blind, but you still definitely want to go on this tour, they are going to tell the tour manager, hey, you've got some blind folks on this tour, just so you know. And they're going to do their best to accommodate you. Now, granted, if you're wanting to do a tour and you want to go out and you're driving ATVs in the wilderness, you probably are not going to be the one who drives.
Right.
Not a good plan. though, I mean, if you're out in some big, huge open field somewhere, I've always wanted to drive something somewhere, never gotten a chance to do it. One of these days, I'm going to go to Master Drive. I'm going to pay my own way and I'm going to go drive somebody's car somewhere. But common sense, I'm not saying, you know, if you're going to go on a hike, make sure you're prepared to actually hike, that you are physically able to hike, not that you're able to see, but that you have good cane skills, or if you're using your guide dog, whatever the situation is going to be, that you're prepared for that on that day. So that way, I will also say that there are times in foreign countries that the fact that you are blind might very well have some people scared that you can't do particular things or whatever. You do have to keep in mind that when you are traveling, you do not have the accessibility laws of the United States. And that is very much a real thing. I have been on trips where other people were denied options to do particular activities because the tour operators were scared that if they were blind and they were hurt, it would be on them that they were hurt, or right, they wouldn't be able to see, so they wouldn't be protected. Most of the time that does not happen. Once in a great while it does. So no matter what, I say, you know what, if they're not going to let you do the tour, well, then they're going to give you your money back. That part is true. So you're not out the chance. So take the chance anyway.
So do you ever, like, I know people when they travel, and this kind of starts to get into people's choices about levels mm-hmm. of independence, but there definitely are the organized tours and those types of things. And I know people, sighted or not, on, you know, the whole range of the vision loss spectrum, who always mm-hmm. want to do tours. They want a guide, they want everything tours. And I know people on the totally opposite end, they don't ever want to do an organized tour. They just enjoy exploring a place. Do you ever do that? Or do you tend to stick more towards the organized guided tours?
It depends on who I am with. I will say that. There have been times where I have gone off of a ship and I've gone on to land and I haven't already scheduled an organized tour. And I happen to meet a driver on the dock or somebody like that. And I know everybody says, oh, don't ever do that. That will rob you blind. Well, you're already blind. You get past that part. But for the most part, I have had a good sense of who feels safe to take a tour mm-hmm. from. And if there's enough of us all on that same tour together, and most of the time, there have been times, like, I've gone to Ocho Rios many times, and there was a time when it was only three of us, and we're all blind, and we rented this driver on the dock, and we said we want to go to a really good Jamaican off the beaten path place to eat dinner, to have our lunch. And he was very cool with us. He didn't have a problem with the fact that we were blind. He also didn't want to drag our canes anywhere, which was really good. But he was great. And every time I went to Jamaica after that, as a matter of fact, I believe I still have his business card, and I'm going to Jamaica in January. I might very well hire him again. But if not, there have been times I've also just gone out and walked the main road. Mm-hmm. If I thought, you know, if I remembered a cool place I wanted to be or something like that, I would go with other friends and maybe just go walk the main road. I'm not talking about going out to the wilderness all by myself right. or something like that, but I'm willing to go out and walk the streets in a foreign place. If it's the kind of more the touristy areas, I've heard stories of people having problems and so on and so forth in places. I have never been one of those, but I will admit I'm very street smart. And that comes in handy, whether you're sighted or blind, mm-hmm. being a little street smart and being able to read people is very helpful. But yeah, there definitely are times that it's still great to just get out and walk somewhere and not just be on the tour bus, but do it amongst other people. Don't just do it all by yourself.
Right.
Be smart about it. But absolutely, you know, there are times when they'll say, oh, you know, you're going to take a tour and at the end, they're going to drop you off at the shopping plaza. And if you want to go wander around or like the straw markets mm-hmm. and Nassau or something like that, and they'll say, you know what? And the ship is a few blocks away. If you want to walk back to the ship, you can. Otherwise, you know, take a taxi or the bus will meet you at a certain time. But you know what? Along the way, there's restaurants, there's all kinds of things that you might not experience if you're just doing the tour. But if you're walking around in a safe touristy kind of area, for the most part, those areas that are very well patrolled and they want to make sure that tourists keep coming back. The last thing they want to have is some big, huge international incident with somebody blind being hurt in their country and so on and so forth. So they're going to look out. And believe you me, in foreign countries, they are not used to, especially in like the Caribbean where I've been a lot, in places over in Europe, you might very well find a lot of people who have actually seen blind people and so on and are a little more used to it. Mm-hmm. But in the places that I've been, mostly, they are not used to seeing blind people. So they are very intrigued. They're very curious and they sometimes can be over helpful. But you just have to say, you know what? I don't mind your company, but you don't need to grab my cane. You don't need to... you know, anything else, I'm good, but if I want your company, I'll take it. And if I don't, I'll just say, thanks very much. We've got it and keep on moving. If you keep on moving in general, people are going to leave you alone. Act like you know where you are and what you're doing. And that, like, I'm a New Yorker. We believe in walk like we mean it everywhere, you know? That kind of thing. But yeah, I do like to wander and go see stuff on my own sometimes with friends.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's okay. You know, people have different ideas of how much assistance they want, how mm-hmm. independent, like just because you do get some assistance or, you know, you're on a guided tour, it doesn't mean you're not independent. I know sometimes there's conversations about, you know, what is it to be independent? And people sometimes have different ideas for them as an individual of how, you know, what is independent for them.
Absolutely. The way I see that is the only bad choice is the choice to stay home because you have no skills or no abilities or you're too scared. That is a poor choice. The choices that you make that have to do with how you travel as a blind person, as long as you actually feel like you have the ability to make some choices, then what establishes your independence is the fact that you get to make your choice. If somebody says to you, you can't go on this trip because you're blind, we're, you know, and this could be somebody, your family, this could be your friends, this could be your own conscience that says you're not going because you're blind, something bad's going to happen to you. That's fear. That's not understanding. That could very well lead into somebody's paranoia about blindness. Whether it's yours or somebody you know, and that's a bad choice. And frankly, that's somebody else making a choice for you, establishing that you can't do this. Now, I'm not going to say that you should go out there, do everything all the time because somebody told you no. That's not necessarily always good. You should not go out driving somebody's car when you can't see anymore. That no might be a really good no, but you should, if you want to, figure out what it takes for you to make the travel, to do the trip. And if that means that your choices, like some friends of mine have said, you know, if I go to the airport or if I'm going to take a trip, I'm going to take somebody sighted with me. And that person is going to be my guide. Well, okay. My opinion is if you've made that choice, go for it. Especially if you are willing to pay for that person to be there with you. You cover their cost, you cover their whatever it takes for that person to be there, because their job is to be your guide. Essentially, you are hiring them to take you somewhere. It's a choice, and it's a good choice if that's the one you want. If your choice is, I'm going to go and I'm going to take my guide dog or my cane, or I'm going to use the vision that I still have, and I'm going to make some preparations, like we said in the previous one, maybe getting gait assistance or maybe not. Those things are all still marks of independence. Even if it means when you get off a ship and you're in a foreign port and you say, hey, I want to have a sighted guide when I'm here because my comfort level is a little lower. Mm-hmm. If you are making the choice, it's a mark of independence. If somebody comes up to you and says, I'm going to guide you because you're blind and you need me, and you're not going to take a step unless I'm guiding you, that's not a choice. That's somebody forcing you to do it their way. That means they've taken your independence. And that is flat out wrong. And that's the way I see all things independence have to do with you making the choices about how you travel or whether you travel. If somebody makes it for you, they've taken your independence.
Do you have a favorite trip you've taken or a favorite location?
I would say, well, Ocho Rios is definitely one of my favorite locations to be because I love the people. I love the vibe of Ocho Rios. It's just a fun place to be in Jamaica. And Dunn's River Falls is really cool. And lots of things about there I find to be great. Caribbean ice cream is amazing. Say, lots of fun fruit flavors. And it's not, it's a little bit more like gelato in a way. But it's really neat. I've been to places kind of all over the Caribbean and I've enjoyed them. I enjoyed my beach day in Curacao. I've loved being in St. Martin. Part of my family's heritage is Dutch on my dad's side. So getting to know a little of the Dutch heritage is really, really cool for me. So even if it's the island version of Dutch, it still calls to me. Mm-hmm. So I enjoy going to those places as well.
And then you mentioned that you've had like drivers when you are in mm-hmm. a port. Are there sighted guides for things that, I don't know, tourist attractions or things like that in the Caribbean? I know I've heard a little bit more about in Europe. There's a lot more in terms of description and guides and things like that, but I wasn't sure in the area you've kind of been covering if you're mm-hmm. sightseeing if that's common or if that's something you really have to seek out and schedule ahead.
I think you would have to seek it out, schedule it ahead if it came to that. I have never actually experienced something where somebody in the Caribbean actually said, hey, we're going to schedule sighted guides for you and so on. I have recently been on tours. The last trip we took was in 21. And because Paul had trouble with walking great distances at speed, there were a couple of tours that we were going to take where they met us with a car or a bus and said, we're going to take you down to the boat. because it's a bit of a walk. Mm-hmm. And we know you can't do that walk. So everybody else can walk it and they're going to walk back and it's going to be fine and dandy, but we've gotten a car to get you where you needed to go. That kind of thing was especially appreciated. That happened to us in Aruba. We went and did a submarine dive in Aruba, which was super cool.
Oh, wow.
It's a neat thing. Fun pictures and fun video and recording and so on and so forth. But a lot of times when you're in the ports, the people who are your tour guides or even sometimes shop people and whatever will guide you simply because they figure you may not know your way around. So they will do it just because they're there and you're there and they figure you need it. And that comes down to that whole, do you need it? Do you want it? Mm-hmm. And do you say thank you very much? And even if you don't need it, always say thank you. Always say thank you because somebody's going to come behind you that might very well appreciate that guide or that extra bit of description or whatever. So I always say thank you if somebody offers help, even if it's help I don't need, because somebody is coming up behind me that will really appreciate that someday and having that help be accepted as a good piece of goodwill.
Right.
And us acknowledging that with gratitude, even if we don't accept it, goes a long way towards help for the next person who needs
right,
it.
Right. Tell me a little bit about, you mentioned swimming with dolphins and, mm-hmm. I am curious about that experience. I have not done that, and I think that would be great fun. And I'm just imagining that being out in the water, potentially underwater, as a blind person, what that experience is like. Yeah.
Well, we did not go under the water for swimming with dolphins, but we did. We were in this large enclosure for the dolphins, and we started out standing on a platform that was in the water a little more than waist deep, maybe I want to say maybe 3.5-4 feet deep, something like that was a platform that we were standing on, and we petted the dolphins, and we had trainers that were there with us, and we petted the dolphins and we played with them, played ball, and we gave kisses, and we got to feed the dolphins, and I even got to see the whole inside of a dolphin's mouth.
Oh wow.
Guided by the trainer. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like, hey, take my hands to wherever they need to go and so on. But then when it came time to go out to go for the swims, it wasn't just a free form swim with dolphins. It was all controlled. But we got an option to do a time where the dolphins would, you'd hold on to the dolphins' fins and they would kind of pull you. Mm-hmm. And, I swam out to, there was a trainer out in the middle of the pool, and I swam out to where this trainer was, and he talked to me and said, okay, now take your arms and put them out in a big T shape. And when the dolphins come under your hand and you feel their fins come up under your hands, you hold onto the fins and you're going to go for this fun ride. And I did that. And then later on, it was time to do one where they pushed by the feet. And so I went and we went farther out into the pool, and the dolphins and the trainer set me up where I needed to be and said, now lay out like you're flat in the water and keep your feet flat. And then the dolphins are going to come up behind your feet and they're going to move you through the water. And they had told us everybody that was doing it in advance, what we needed to do and how to do it. And if you want, I can send you some pictures you can put on the show notes.
That'd be great.
Are a couple of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's some fun pictures of some of those things that I can put in the show notes. But they were very good with us. Now, I know that friends of mine went to go do the same kind of a tour where they were going to do a dolphin swim. But there were like, I don't know, 15 or 20 blind people. And the tour company was just like, no, we can't do it with that many people. So they got to touch the dolphins and do all the things that were standing on the platform, but they were not all allowed to go out and swim with the dolphins. And I said, I'm so sorry, because it was the coolest thing ever.
Well, and the dolphins
that was a bucket list.
Yeah, well, and the dolphins are trained. So if you're holding onto their fins,
yes,
like they're not going to just take you off out into the ocean somewhere. I mean, they're trained to go in certain places and things. So,
they are trained. Though the trip with the stingrays, and I've done that twice. I've done the swimming with stingrays thing twice, and you are basically kind of on the sandbar, and there's a bunch of boats around, and there's a place called Stingray City in Grand Cayman. And the stingrays are very used to humans and so on and so forth, but they would also let people snorkel. And I do know blind people who snorkel and very much enjoy it. I don't do it mainly because I don't like things over my face. So I've never gone snorkeling, but I do know some blind people who snorkel and they love it. I know blind people who've gone scuba diving and they love it. And they train with trainers and they do all they learn ahead in safe environs. And then they do go out and they swim and they might have somebody who guides them in some way, shape or form, because the communication in the water is definitely
a
whole different thing when you can't even talk to someone. But they have ways of doing it and they work out good ways and they work with their trainers to make those things happen. I'm not that brave, I will admit it, but it's mainly because I don't want to have things that completely cover my face. I've never liked that feeling. But that's the only reason that I haven't gone scuba diving.
Well, Marianne, thank you for sharing your adventures with us. And I think it's just an encouragement, well, really for all of us to travel, but especially not to let blindness or vision loss keep you from traveling, because there's still so many ways to experience the world out there.
Mm-hmm. There definitely are. And if you are going to travel, give yourself some time on either side of your travel to gear up for it.
That's a good tip.
Give yourself a day before to get yourself ready. And especially if you are a working person, give yourself some time on the back end of it to relax and come down from vacation. Because if you fill your vacation with fun and activities, when you come home, you will be wiped and you will not be ready to connect with the work world. So give yourself some time on both ends of your trip for the packing, the unpacking, the unwinding, the welcome back to your own reality.
Right.
Those kinds of things.
That's a great tip. So that is our final thought for this episode and for the month of travel. Thank you so much, Marianne. It's been great to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. And if anybody still has travel questions or wants some tips about how to do things in travel, please do leave your messages with the feedback line. I know that Kim and Jonathan will get them to me, and I will be more than happy to connect with you and talk you through how to do a thing if it's still confusing.
Super. Thanks. And if you have any questions for next month, for mental health month, please do the same thing. You can contact us at 720-712-8856 or email us at feedback@aftersight.org. Thank you for joining us for this month of travel, and I hope the information we've provided has helped you to live your life with vision loss.